Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome into Old School 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. As always, Austin Orman and Jay Foreman with you. A rainy, overcast day here in the capital city. That's all right. We will hope to brighten your afternoon, your drive time home with some of Lincoln's best sports talk. 402-464-5685 if there's anything on your mind. Jay Foreman, welcome in to Old School.
What's going on?
You and Farley still beefing? This is like daily now.
Man, he pop up on everybody like a Pop-Tart, man. I'm having a conversation, trying to have a conversation with somebody, and there he comes, standing there. But it's all good. Nah, Farley's my boy, man. It's always good to see him every once in a while.
Which is, again, pretty much every day.
Yeah. It's the T. Farley experience.
You see Farley more than you see the Mercado, but probably not by much.
Yeah, not by much. And Farley says he can grill, but, I mean, does he look like somebody that can grill? Let's be honest. Listen, he's not listening.
I'm sure Farley could cook. Grill, suspect. I'll need to see the work.
Everything he does. Check the homework. He's suspect at best.
At best.
Yeah.
Again, 402-464-5685 if you want to be a part of the show. Jay, let's just dive right into it. Nebraska and Penn State inching closer and closer. That'll be a 6 o'clock kickoff tomorrow night between the Huskers and the Nittany Lions. Let's start with Nebraska. What's still on the table for Nebraska to accomplish the rest of the year? 7 days left in the season from today till next Friday, Black Friday, of course, after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the season will probably be over about a week from today.
Almost exactly, yeah. 168 hours from now. Nebraska's season, we'll know what it's like. What's still on the table for Nebraska to accomplish here in the next 7 days?
Oh, you can. Well, number one, you can get a helmet sticker game. That's, you know, Penn State. A blue blood win, if you don't know what helmet sticker game or win is. You potentially can win 9 games. Obviously, you can't win 9 without winning 8, and 8 would hopefully be tomorrow. And then obviously you're going to get in a more high-profile bowl. And everything that you had said in the offseason, obviously, you know, besides the obvious, being in the college football playoffs and everybody picking you to be a sneaky pick based on the schedule and what you had coming back, you actually have, you know, by the record, you've shown – you know, a lot of improvement. Now, you know, you can move the goal line and say the schedule, so forth and so on. But if you're mature enough to and have the maturity and leadership to worry, but you're able to win these next 2 games, you're showing, you know, some signs that you're really moving in the right direction, which they already are, but you might be a step or two farther than, you know, people perceive you to be right now. And then going into the offseason, it should be more than the standard. I guess everybody's expectations, the non-negotiables have to be raised. So it's a good thing. You don't want to go the opposite way because then I'll drum up all the ghosts of the past and everybody else's problems that now are your problems. And so really, you know, there's 2 things they have to do. One is go out there and play well. And playing well is obviously, you know, playing hard and playing together. All that stuff goes into it. And obviously you want to win. And then, you know, aesthetically, you want it to be somewhat pleasing. And so, you know, as long as the effort's there, physicality's there, and then obviously they are making the plays that they should be okay.
0326 says back-to-back road wins is on the table. Of course, we had this discussion earlier in the year when Nebraska went from, was it Maryland to Minnesota, about not winning back-to-back games on the road in consecutive weeks in conference play for 19 seasons, dating all the way back to 2006. Can't snap that streak necessarily because of the bye week in between. But either way, Jay, if Nebraska is able to take its show on the road to Happy Valley, stop the run consistently for 60 minutes of football and find a way to get to 8-3 with a road win at Penn State this time of the year. Bye week or not, winning back-to-back road games in a Power 4 conference and really one of the top two in the Big Ten, almost regardless of who you play, that's not nothing. That's at least a little something.
Yeah, I mean, you got to, you know, make your way or make your hay based on what's in front of you. You can't, you know, dictate who you play, because on the flip side, you know, in the schedule, like next year is really, really hard. Schedules are for quite a few years of circumstances of like when you play teams back to back and what type of teams you play back to back, whether road or home, haven't been favorable. But if you're able to, you know, get 9 wins, and obviously, you know, you got to start with 8. Let's just say, can you, you know, the most important game is tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. You're moving in the right direction. You're showing tangible improvement even more than what you've done up to this point. Back-to-back road games is something that you can really, you know, hang your hat on. You kind of check that off. You know, I didn't even know that was the deal, but obviously when you go 3-9 all the time, I guess, you know, you're not,
anything
becomes the deal. And so, you know, look, it's onward and upward, and you got to look at it to where, you know, obviously a lot has been with, you know, Lane Kiffin and stuff, and you know, he was able to kind of, you know, turn Ole Miss around a little bit quicker than most. But, you know, they had that dip in that 2022 when they went 8-5.
Well, that's the team that started 8-1,
right?
And derailed.
But still, you're still 8-5 after being 10-3, mm-hmm. and you know, something was missing, and then he comes right back and gets it back going. And so, you know, when he comes in, you see constant, really, you know, drastic improvement, 5-5, 10-3, 8-5. Okay, now is he really for real? Obviously, he had the rumors with Auburn and other coaching vacancies. So, you know, even like at Tennessee at one point, which was crazy just considering how he left there. But then, you know, then he's able to get it back on track. And so, you know, there's not a direct comparison to it, but it does take a little bit of time. But Nebraska's time is now. And the reason why it's now is just because of the circumstances around college football. But, you know, you have to mature. You have to be able to defeat the odds. Not everything's – you're never going to be able to play on your circumstances. You're never going to be able to play at the ideal time. So all that stuff, all that talk, you know, all that stuff cannot ever be a topic of discussions. Mm-hmm. You know, and sure, you know, the quick turnaround, the, you know, whatever – okay, that sucks, but you know what? A lot of people would be giving their left arm and their right arm for it, because, you know, you're getting paid a lot of money to do so. And your job by your paycheck is to make that happen.
Perform.
And whoever you're playing don't really care that you're tired. Everybody's
guess what?
Tired.
They're probably tired too.
Everybody at this point in the season is tired. Everybody at this point in, you know, physically is a little bit banged up. And so everybody's trying to, you know, do what they got to do. And so, you know, you got to make sure when you're in that position, all the outside distractions or excuses have to be null and void.
You might look from the outside in and say, well, maybe the time's not now for Penn State, just kind of playing out the string. But this is a team with still 2 games remaining. They can get bowl eligible mm-hmm. with their record. They have Nebraska and Rutgers remaining. This is the next step in the journey to bowl eligibility. And Jay, you've mentioned this about Nebraska, and I think the same thing can be true for Penn State, especially after the work that James Franklin did and taking that program, you know, to and near the college football playoff at different times. Penn State fans, I don't think, you know, would be satisfied with 5-7, but they can talk themselves into 6-6. If this is the worst it's going to be with all the turmoil that we went through in our worst year, you know, in the past 15 years since everything, you know, broke back in 2011, 2012, if this is the worst for us with all this chaos and this is what it takes for this program to go 6-6, we can deal with that. It's not ideal. We know what has to be fixed, but there's still plenty on the line for Penn State to play for as well. That bowl opportunity, senior day. And, you know, for the players, this might help determine your roster spot. Whether you're still in Happy Valley next year, you hit the transfer portal, you would think that Nebraska would be able to find, you know, more motivation to reach that higher bowl game, to go out and, you know, prove more people wrong on the road and stopping the run. But there's plenty on the table for Penn State to play for too.
Oh, they're going to be, it's senior day. So, you know, they're going to try to show out for, you know, their fans one last time for the senior class. And you're 100% right. They're definitely going to try to find that 6-6 and making a bowl game and potentially be having a winning season. mm-hmm. As their, you know, their calling card, and really showing this Penn State fight and what they really, you know, are as a program. So they're, you're going to get their best effort. They feel like when you go back and even look at the Ohio State game, they were even Steven with Ohio State, or actually I think they were down by three, but they scored on the last two drives, quite frankly, pretty easily against Ohio State. And then obviously Ohio State hit them with that quick bum rush out of the, mm-hmm. out of the locker room. So they feel like they're playing pretty well. Then you look at the game against Indiana, they feel like without a legendary play, legendary drive, no one say legendary, but after, you know, potentially a Heisman winning drive, they win that game, right? Mm-hmm. And then they back it up after a emotional loss, which was that Indiana game, that got them a lot of national attention for being able to compete. And they got a little bit of that swagger offensively going. And then they go on the road and beat a Michigan State team that's trying to get to where they're at, bowl eligible. On the road, I wouldn't say easy, but pretty handily. You know, they had control of the game. It seems like it never mm-hmm. was, you know, out of hand, or like, you know, Penn State had true control of the game. And then now they say, okay, we got two. They feel like they got two winnable games, just like we feel like we have a, you know, winnable game, you know, the next 2 weeks. And they're going to throw the kitchen sink at us. And so when you get on that plane and you're, you know, getting, I mean, I'm sure they're, I don't know if they're there or not, you're close to getting there. You got to understand, you are officially going into a lion's den. This is, Minnesota has nothing on this. Mm. Maryland certainly can't compete with this type of crowd. I mean, it's going to be a
UCLA.
UCLA. I mean, that was, I mean, you got more, you could get a scrimmage going out. You know what I mean? Spring game. This is going to be 100,000 people, 105,000 people, you know, trying to have their influence on the game. You are in the Lions Den. There will be some Nebraska fans out there, probably not much, because it's a hard travel to get there. Mm-hmm. And you got a team that feels like, you know, with their coach, that they're playing for him, they're playing for, you know, their pride, and they're playing to extend their team and or extend their season. Excuse me, and whoever becomes their head coach, probably, I don't know, whoever that is.
We got an update on that from The Athletic.
Is
the name's
real?
In the search. More names to watch right as the search develops. Mm. Bob Chesney, Jeff Brohm, Elijah Drinkwitz, Brent Key, and Clark Lee. Brian Daboll is an option, as is Brian Hartline. And former Northwestern head coach Pat Fitzgerald has spoken with almost every open school, including Penn State.
So it's essentially, if it's me.
If you're Pat Kraft.
Essentially, the Athletic is like, okay, we got to make sure everybody that we're mentioning everybody. But it's really, if it's me, if I'm looking for somebody, it's either Key or Fitzgerald. And I don't know whatever one they like, you know, mm-hmm. kind of fits it. Obviously, Fitzgerald fits it, but it obviously has, obviously,
baggage.
Yeah, and it just, you know, he got, you know, he's, he was, you know, he wasn't found, you know, guilty or, you know, of it. And obviously he's going to be compensated by Northwestern or has from it. But mm-hmm. still, it's just, you know, it's a lot, you know, considering what was going on before. Now, it's not directly, but you just know how the media can be. And Key is kind of like that. You know, he's a Nick Saban, you know, disciple, tough. He's built Georgia Tech, football all the time. Kind of would, I mean, just by his personality, you see, he probably fit, you know, that Penn State type of, you know, mentality. We shall see. But at the end of the day, Penn State is at ground zero right now. Mm-hmm. They have bottomed out, and they fired James Franklin. You can't take that back, right?
No.
But you have to have, you might have some, like, I don't know. Well, buyer's remorse. What do you call it? Fire's remorse.
right? Seller's remorse.
Seller's remorse. It's got to be natural. Mm-hmm. The amount of decommits is 19.
Whew. Most of them end up at Virginia Tech.
Right.
Even half of them
decommitted, or they might recommit because based on who you got, you have not. I mean, you struck out on Kirk Cignetti quickly. Okay, that phone call was probably the quickest one. Hello, goodbye. Right. You interviewed Urban Meyer and then supposedly, but it seems like that, which is like, I'll just get, that's crazy.
Which I wonder how much of that was kind of like what Nebraska did when they got Matt Rhule, was they talked to Urban Meyer.
Okay.
Brought him in for a consultant conversation. You can frame it as an interview just to see. But if he says, yeah, I'm not getting back into coaching, then it's just, oh, it's just a consultant conversation.
Either way.
But
either way.
Yeah. You talk to him.
Like, that's crazy anyway. Like, that's gone.
Yeah.
I hate to tell people that that is gone. The whole Florida Gator swamp life or whatever it is, that ain't, it's not happening.
Now, the Jacksonville thing might happen, but.
Yeah, that's exactly who you're going to get. Now, so you struck out there based on supposedly, according to sources, that he wasn't familiar, which is weird. Because Urban, I'm going to tell you like this. Urban Meyer's smart, okay? He's a football coach, and he knows, like, stuff about NIL. Supposedly, it was like he didn't have, like, a good NIL plan. Well, come on now. This is Urban Meyer. He's in the business. He knows it.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, he's been doing NIL beforehand. They've been paying players left and right anyways. He probably tells them, listen, you guys ain't even doing it right. This is how I know how it works. And it has worked.
The guy before him got in trouble for not knowing how it works. And Urban says, hey, look at this.
You're right. So,
look at this. Here we go.
You know, you can talk about Brian Hartline. You're starting over. You can talk about
first time guy.
Yeah, right. I mean, you're starting over. I mean, whether you know, Ohio State or not, you're starting over, player. Mm-hmm. Chesney, okay, I got it, but he really, you know, you starting over, right? And this is nothing against them because they are all really good coaches.
Oh yeah,
but I think when Penn State fires Jane Franklin, that's why I always said you have one in your, you got one in your front pocket, right? Well, I talk about playing spades. The first time I got thrown off the spades table by my Uncle Fred or Jamal's dad, but you know, he's like, hey, how many you got? I got four with a possible two. I didn't hit my four. You got to get up. So the guys that you had, you thought you were going to get, say yes. You're not there. Now they might already have something already done and just waiting for the right time. I call that suspect at best. Because who is he? Where is he? What are you doing? Because whoever it is ain't winning.
Right.
There's nobody out there that's, you know what I'm saying? Because anybody that's out been like part of it, even your boy at SMU.
Yeah.
They didn't even rank. He got paid.
Yeah.
So anybody that you have. And then, okay, Jeff Brom or Brom, right? Okay. Well, he commenced to lose that next week. And now maybe he was distracted. And do you trust him? Do you?
I wouldn't. Not yet.
Okay, right. So what has he really done to think that he needs to go from Louisville to Penn State?
Are you going to bring that offense to Penn State? We'll see. 402-464-5685. 1808. Is anyone looking at a North Texas head coach? Yes, Oklahoma State is at least looking at Eric Morrisman. Back on Penn State here. A couple things. We'll start with IQ Crew. I don't think Penn State has reached their floor or bottom out. I have a bad feeling they may be on a similar path as Nebraska. The floor dropped out over and over over the last 24 years. And that's what I'm saying, IQ Crew, is Penn State fans, if they get to a bowl game at 6-6, would convince themselves that,
They're not Nebraska.
We'll be different. We'll get a better hire. We know our identity. We'll find someone that fits, and we'll be fine.
I would ask, how long has it been? It's been way too long. That it's almost like when Aaron Rodgers signed with the Jets. We're forgetting to talk about it, right?
Right.
So now you're out of the news cycle. Mm-hmm. That means you're out of the hiring cycle, really. It's all Virginia Tech right now, and then now it's all Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. And Lane Kiffin's not associated with. And what are you going to do, hire Lincoln Riley from USC? Right?
Lincoln's not moving to Happy Valley. Not happening. But my bigger point is that fan bases will convince themselves they won't beat Nebraska. Nebraska tried to convince itself this would never happen.
Yeah, Nebraska.
And guess what?
Nebraska fans convinced themselves that they wouldn't be Notre Dame when Notre Dame went through it. The difference is Notre Dame never changed the fabric of, listen, this is football. You have to win. So they just kept doing it, right? And they probably had some seller's remorse. Was it Tyrone Willingham?
Yeah.
Right?
Charlie Weiss when he left.
Right. And but then you were kind of spinning your wheels a little bit, right? And then now they've obviously got it back right with Brian Kelly and obviously Marcus Freeman. So listen, I remember talking to Sean Bryson in Peerless Price. I would never forget this. And this is when Philip Fulmer was there at Tennessee. And he went to the SEC championship and lost. And they had just come, you know, they won the national championship after we did. So we, you know, we've been friends ever since we played up in Buffalo together. And then the next year, there was a little bit of a letdown. And they were, you know, where, you know, everybody, all the fans, get rid of Fulmer. He's old. The games passed him by, all that. I said, be careful what you ask for.
Because you just might get it.
Because you just might get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they truly are out of the darkness yet.
Well, they're not, because Fulmer came back and did that coup of the athletic department.
Right. And then the Derek Dooley, the Pruitts.
Well, the Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin. Yeah, after 7-6. It's crazy. I didn't even think about that. I was just looking at it, but it was just like he was only there 9 months.
Yeah.
You know, he came in, had that press conference, you know, did the season. All right,
7-6, had another press conference.
Yeah, I'll holler at you, player. Didn't even get a full year's of interest on his crib. And then, you know, now I think Josh Heupel, we'll see, right? But, you know, Danny White does a good job. You know, they're kind of connected there.
Mm-hmm. I like Danny White more than I do Josh Heupel.
I agree with that. I think when that stuff with Nico happened, it was everybody was 100% on Nico.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're starting to see it was probably about 40% Nico, 60% Tennessee.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean Josh Heupel is a bad dude or not, but some guys can get fixated on their system.
Right.
That's why I always say I like an offense versus a system.
Mm-hmm.
An offense, you can curtail to who you're playing. A system, you think you can just get these dudes walking up and down O Street with the badges on, and they, as long as they run to the place they think is going to work. Well, that doesn't work like that. But back to Penn State, man, they are in right now in franchise program bizarre world. Mm-hmm. They don't want to recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
But they have to before it's
too late. And it's crazy, man. They have a proud alumni base.
Mm-hmm.
They do. And they have a very strong alumni base, former players.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of guys that I played with and against and guys that I communicate with at times on their kind of hiring advisory board as well in everything.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, unless they have the guy and they're keeping it real quiet, but like I said, whoever it is, you ain't winning the press conference. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're looking down at Virginia Tech and looking at him, and sure, he gave you a little bit of a, you know, discount, but it really isn't. Is that he already had that job, so he didn't ding you up for, you know, a much. Now you starting over?
Yeah.
Bro, you just came out of, you almost was like SMU. What they were, you almost were on death penalty. Him and Bill O'Brien and this dude took you out, or James Franklin took you all out of death penalty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Says a lot about, number one, those two guys. Number two, the brand of Penn State, to be able to bounce back that quickly. Think about how long it took Baylor. Think about how long it took SMU. So for Penn State to be able to have a brand that resilient.
That's luck.
And shout out to O'Brien and Franklin.
It was luck you had those two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because remember, Bill, nobody would touch that job because of, you know, the loose scholarships and all that.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of the Matt Rhule thing at Baylor.
Yeah.
To some degree. You know, but
you got to have a unique eye for that opportunity. And you're lucky that you backed it up with James Franklin.
Yeah.
And then he took it to another stratosphere
to
actually probably bigger than what they actually are. Because when you watch this team, right, it was the preseason number one with the quarterback in there. But if you watch this team play with him being removed, they're really not that good. They're really here's what I'm saying. They were preseason number one. Ohio State's number one.
Yeah.
Indiana's number two.
Mm-hmm.
Those two teams I just mentioned look significantly different than them.
Yeah.
Move a little quarterback different. Or not.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So James Franklin was part of the reason why you were preseason number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And maybe he sold the program too much. That people believed in it too much.
It's hard to have too much of a good thing, right? All you can do is your best at the time.
Well, what I'm saying is it created a false, like, it's kind of like what I always talk about Minnesota, because I obviously, you know, I used to live there with Glenn Mason.
Yeah.
And when, you know, he was getting in a bowl game, and then it was like, oh, this is, you know, he's exceeding expectations. But it's like, oh, no, no, we got to be Ohio State. Bro, you ain't even trying to be Ohio State. So then they got rid of, you know, then lucky Jerry Kill come, but you only can, you know, hit triple sevens when you're playing a slot machine so many times.
For most programs, it's once, maybe twice.
Right.
For most. Let's get to this this last couple texts here on our Starter Human Dealers text line. Alan and Lincoln says, Jay, I doubt Penn State plays in a bowl game if they do become eligible so they can pick a coach. Agree or disagree?
I think if I'm the coach and they are 6-6, I want you to play in the bowl game.
Because they probably hire him Sunday or Monday after they beat Rutgers. If, let's say, they get them to 6-6.
Do you think they wait that long?
Well, they play on Saturday. I'm saying Sunday or Monday, like next
after
day.
Rutgers?
Or two. Yeah. Immediately.
Yeah, I mean, heck, if you waited this long, you might as well wait another week. I'm thinking, like, you need to hire somebody today.
They waited this long. So,
yeah. Hey, we are Penn State. And they, right. Because I need 2 weeks to learn the fight song.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so I don't end up like Brian Kelly. Yeah. I think the coach would want them to play because he can get around the players. You know, you want to be able to evaluate the team.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you want to get to know your team in no better way than being at practice. But then also,
no matter who's around or not, because don't forget the transfer portal doesn't officially open until January 2
right.
anymore. So these guys really don't have much of a reason to sit out.
Oh, you don't want to get hurt. And if you know you're already in the portal, what do I always say? Once you go in the portal, you've been in the portal.
True.
So a lot of these guys might be in the portal at whenever that 4-0 is on that clock against Rutgers.
Do you think that there's maybe then some level of a splash needed to keep some of these players around? So these players who are more invested in themselves that might stick around. Oh, you know, I was going to leave, but hey, this coach seems like he's going to be good. So I'll stick around before they even meet him.
Yeah. LeVar Arrington's son's on that team.
Mm-hmm.
He wears number 11. You better pass more than the eye test. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You on DEFCON 2. Okay, got it. I didn't realize. It just made me. I didn't realize that 5 is like the low level.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
DEFCON 1 is we are.
Yeah. Well, you had
DEFCON. Here it comes. The bomb's dropping.
You're on DEFCON 2, and you're moving rapidly towards 1. And because you have to make a. Okay, say they hire some guy, and everybody would be a good hire. Obviously, they're going to be happy with it. But then it's like, you don't even get nobody cares to get you any tread.
Right.
And now it's not all about the press conference, but it is the respect because now.
Yeah. Well, it's the first impression.
And it's expanded. Look.
Yeah.
Hey, my sphincter muscle would be puckered.
Tight.
Tight. Cubic zirconium would be coming out of there.
Last thing then from Jim before we take our first break. Jay, do you think the Penn State assistant coaches have checked out? They're worried about their future and maybe looking for other jobs.
I'm sure they got an agent that's able to go do so, but I think a majority of them would like to stay. Some,
mm-hmm.
Even the head coach, he's a Penn State guy, and he's trying to hold the fort down. I think much like when Scott got fired, and then Mickey and those guys, and like Bill Bush and those guys kind of really did the right thing. I think most coaches would do the right thing. So I'd imagine at Penn State, they'll do the same. Now, I think they'll obviously, they got to handle the business part, though, because they got to make sure they, you know, take care of
have
their
a
families.
Spot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I don't know how long their contracts are. I'm sure a lot of them are, you know, have a extra year on their contract.
Well, and a bunch of this for Penn State is probably more entrenched assistants, unlike the end of Scott Frost, where, you know, do I really sign on as a new assistant like the Mark Whipple thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got to give me two. For me to even come there 1 year, I'm not going to do that.
Well, that's
you
got to
give
coach.
Them two. But yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But just that's the example.
Yeah, they probably have multiple years left, and that's where, you know, they got to handle the business part. But I'm sure they want to do what's right, and they want to do what's right by those kids because, you know, say they go and get a job somewhere else, and they want that kid to come play for them. They want to make sure that that relationship with those kids or those players in your room are, you know, as tight as it ever be. And plus, sometimes it brings you a little bit closer. Everybody's on like not on solid ground, but you got to move forward and be a professional.
Moving forward in the Hall of Fame Classic, Nebraska men's basketball. They're playing for the Hall of Fame Classic Championship tonight. They'll take on Big 8 and Big 12 foe Kansas State. We'll talk about last night's win over New Mexico and tonight's game against Kansas State more when we get back to Old School.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in to Old School. Austin Norman and Jay Foreman with you. 84-72, Nebraska takes down New Mexico. The Huskers are now 5-0. Jay, knows on Peacock. Did you get a chance to sit down and watch any of the Huskers last night?
I did. I watched it. They were very impressed. They jumped out on them, and then obviously you knew it coming out of halftime, it felt like the Lobos, you know, made a little bit of run, but then they were able to finish them off. They were clearly the better team. Mm-hmm. As we talked about with football, the maturity. This is it as well. And, you know, you got to tip the hat. They beat a team that they should have or should, you know, that they were better than. And I wouldn't say it was easy, but again, it was well in control. And the first game, I think, in this type of deal, when you kind of get there and it's maybe the hardest.
People have been asking for Nebraska basketball to be consistent. Well, why can't you just shoot, you know, 6 of 17 from three in each half, or, you know, 8 of 17 from three in each half on your way to 37%. I just don't think that's the identity and the DNA of this team, Jay. I think at the end of the year, we look back, we're not going to be too surprised about what Nebraska's record is, but any individual game might be a little bit surprising, right? It's been kind of a tale of two halves now in back-to-back games. First half, pretty well dominated by Oklahoma, but Nebraska was old enough, mature enough, and made enough shots to stick in it. Then they really dominated the second half, kind of the vice versa against New Mexico. Instead of playing from behind, they're playing with a lead.
Yeah.
Let it slip away, but... You know, Nebraska handled both kinds of the adversity, right? Having to crawl back from a 16-17 point deficit and then having to cling to a 4-point lead that was down from 20. You'd rather not see that. You know, you'd rather have that steady as she goes win more of the 4-minute segments than the opponent. I just don't think that's who this Nebraska team is, at least not yet. At the end of the day, aside from the turnovers, the numbers are actually pretty good. You win the rebounding battle, you shoot 37% from three. Sure, free throw numbers maybe a little bit low, down at 68% just against New Mexico there. But overall, I think that while it's going to be easy to go into each half or each game individually, keeping track of the bigger picture is going to be big for Husker fans, because I think this team is going to have people liking where it's at the end, even if there are those ups and downs along the way.
Yeah, you're going to have a low where they go maybe a little bit cold from shooting or just lose their rhythm. And that's any team every season.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how or who gets them out of it. And that's, you won't know that until towards the end, until when they really get into, you know, Big Ten play. But, you know, they shot the ball pretty good, you know, and obviously not 56% as they did, you know, the game before. And I, you know, shameless pat myself on the back. What I said, Braden Frager had 0 points. Look for him to have a big game. Why? Because New Mexico was going to focus on what? Our guards and stuff like that. It would allowed him, and because he has a little bit more versatility and being left-handed too. I think early in the season, this is what people don't understand, is that guarding a guy that's lefty is odd, even though, cause number one, you might not have a left-hand player on your practice squad. Number two, it catches people off guard, and he came up big, and that's a big reason why they were able to win.
And I think Frager is the kind of poster child for what this Nebraska season is going to look like. At the end of the year, you're going to look back at his numbers and probably see, you know, 6 to 8 points per game, 4 rebounds per game, an assist or two, a steal per game. Like, oh, I mean, he was consistent. He was there. He was playing every night. But I think it's going to be, okay, he had 20 points tonight. He had 4. He had 2. He had 7 rebounds one game and one like that.
It's going to be like Connor Stegen. He's going to have the same way. And then Connor might, you know, get on those 4 or 5 game heaters.
Yeah,
you know, where he's consistently in low to mid double digits, and you have to take it. And that's why they built this roster this way. And so, you know, they're in a good position. I like the stats as far as they won the overall rebounds, lost by 3 on the offensive rebounds. So obviously you don't want to, you know, lose that, but overall they won the rebounds. They won the assists, lost the steals by almost 2 times. And
Nebraska was just soft with it way too often.
Right. But that's where this was a shock to their system. These guys were, you know, trying to get after you. Nebraska had, you know, more points in the paint, and then also more fast break points. So even though the turnovers and stuff like that wasn't good, they were able to capitalize on stuff, get some easy buckets. So that's where they were able to withstand some runs from New Mexico, and then maybe potentially start one moving themselves. So I think it's onward, upward, and you got two games back to back. That's going to be also another maturity test too. Who can answer the bell back to back? Now you expect the Jamarcus Lawrence, Rink Mass, and all those guys, right? And Sanford and all that. Who are the complementary pieces that's going to step up tonight? Because they're going to need one or two complementary pieces to step up every night. And it's not just on the, you know, scoring points. It's going to be whether it's energy, getting your hands on, you know, a couple tips or something like that, or steals or assists or hockey assists, right? And a hockey assist, if you're listening to people, me or listen out of here, hockey assist to me is I make the right pass to Austin and you get credit for the assist, but it's the cause and effect, because I'm either passing up a shot or I'm getting it to you on time and on target to let you get into your original move, or in the secondary move, you set up like Rink Mass on a backdoor cut, easy point. So we'll see what happens, you know, tonight. It'd be another, tough test.
It's an interesting test for Nebraska, a Kansas State team that likes to get up and down, that likes to score. Jay, I'm not fully sold on Jerome Tang as a head coach. I think he's fine. He's still got some questions to answer for me. Guy that doesn't have many questions to answer, PJ Haggerty.
Yeah.
All-American last year, consensus All-American nonetheless. Two-time all-conference guy in the American with Penny Hardaway out there at Memphis, who, by the way, pushed Purdue out in the Bahamas yesterday.
Not bad for not putting in their defense
the game plan till the first week. Yeah, pretty incredible. But we've seen Nebraska kind of take on these one-man shows before. Obviously, Kansas State has other talented players, but they run so much of what they do through Haggerty. What do you think the game plan is for Nebraska? Is it, you know, cover everyone else and just let Haggerty get his? Do you throw different waves of bodies at Haggerty to try to throw him off? What's your strategy in defending a, you know, 6'4", 200-pound kind of combo guard like him with Nebraska?
Yeah, roster? And he just dropped, you know, almost 40 points last game. So you're going to have to mix up your coverages. You're going to have to make them work for everything, and your scouting department is going to have to know where he's the most effective. Every good scorer has a couple spots that's like their watering hole. You got to get him off those spots, and you can't get him, let him get there in rhythm. If you're going to let him play at his pace, then he's going to score 30. Period.
Yeah.
Now, you'd be okay with him scoring 30 if he takes 30 shots.
Right.
So you want to make sure that he's not as efficient as he was, you know, against Mississippi State. So
that's a dangerous game to play, where you kind of want to play in the psychology of, hey, I did everything for us yesterday. You know, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm going to get us going early, but you also can't let him, kind of like we talked about with Nico at quarterback, the quarterback that does everything. You got to put the burden on him to do everything, but not let him feel like he's comfortable in a rhythm. Yeah.
And that's where you see Nico ran into trouble against us. And even the week before, obviously, you know, against Ohio State, but then also you saw, obviously it's football related, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll talk about that game too.
And it's also on the coordinator, but then obviously now it's the coach. It was Jerome Tang is like to make sure that you have the conversation with him. Look, man, you're going to get your points, but when and how you get your points, because the best Kansas State version is you getting a high volume of shots and points. But we also got to make sure that we're able to get everybody else going, because eventually somebody's going to have somebody that can stick with you.
Yeah.
Eventually you're going to be off and you can't really get into your spots. So you want to make sure you do that the right way. But I think I'm interested in that matchup a little bit later start tonight, but they're going to get busy. It's a nice little nightcap.
Indeed.
Nice little nightcap.
Let's say Nebraska wins tonight. Mm-hmm. What would that do for your confidence in the team and the program moving forward through the rest of the non-conference, and looking forward to conference play here in about a week and a half?
I think they would have exceeded initial expectations, because I think when you saw the transfer portal cast, you were like, that's it, because you're losing so much. But then when you dug into particularly the three-point numbers and the different body types, right, and then you got to think Braden Frager is part of this portal class because he was redshirted last year, you're like, oh, okay, I see it. And I think it'd just be more on showing maturity and more of the same. So I think it's going to be a good battle, though.
Nebraska 5-0, owners of the nation's longest win streak at 9 games. Can the Huskers push it to double digits?
Not who would have thought Nebraska basketball running things?
How about it?
Yeah, that's a trivia question.
It is.
In what year did Nebraska lead the nation in most consecutive wins? Well, I guess
Yeah. Because Florida didn't. They lost their season opener. They won 6 in a row to end last season. But 4 in the crown, 5 to start the regular season for Nebraska men's basketball. The number is 3. Consecutive Big Ten titles for Nebraska volleyball. Huskers wrap up another one, at least a share, on their way to the full shebang in the Big Ten with a win over Iowa last night. Let's talk about those 3 conference championships in a row and what December could hold for Nebraska volleyball briefly before we get into Hour 2 of Old School.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Wrapping up Hour 1 of Old School here on The Ticket, Austin Orman and Jay Foreman with you. Coming up at 5, Jason Peter, former Husker, in the studio with us. That'll be fun as always, so make sure on your drive home you're tuned in for that. Last night, heard from former Husker Mandy Monson with Harrison Ahrens on Nebraska volleyball postgame. Jay, 3 straight conference titles for the Nebraska women. First time in the Big Ten era they've done that. Last time they did that was 2004, 2005 through 2007, 2008 in the Big 12. Nebraska now 27-0 overall, 17-0 in the Big Ten. Of those 27 wins, Jay, 22 of them have been sweeps.
Yeah.
There's being good, there's being great, and then they're sweeping 22 of your 27 opponents.
Yeah, this is straight domination. And then, and there's onward, upward. The standard is the standard. And they're just going out there, and it's a buzzsaw right now. And you want to see it for the whole season. And, you know, they seem to be picking up steam. I think that wake up call against UCLA probably lit a fire inside them that they took out on a USC and then again in Iowa, I think Iowa last night. So, I think it's really, really cool and interesting to see Coach Danny come in after John Cook retires and really keep it going. Because people had questions whether, you know, coming from Louisville, whether she would, you know, be able, how fast the transition would be. Now, obviously, the team that's coming back is very, very talented. Mm-hmm. But also lets you know her message and how she's connected with the players, you know, in the preseason has allowed them to be successful, you know, during the season right now.
Looking at the rest of the schedule for Nebraska volleyball, just a few regular season matches remaining coming up on Sunday. It will be Nebraska and Indiana. That is a top 20 matchup before Nebraska hosts Penn State on Black Friday and then Ohio State to end the regular season. So Huskers on the verge of a 30-0 regular season. They have done that before. It's been a minute since they've done it. But of course, Jay, with this program, the question is always postseason.
Yeah.
They've answered questions as well as they could in the regular season. It's been a heck of a debut in her return, like you said, for Danny Busboom Kelly. But any questions that anyone might have about Nebraska volleyball won't be answered in the regular season because they've been fine, more than fine, in the regular season for 15 years now.
Yeah.
What's going to happen is when they face adversity in the NCAA tournament, do they go back to their old habits of not communicating, of relying on one player too much, or did the message really take root? Going to be really interested to see what happens once the calendar flips to December for the presumable number one overall seed in the tournament.
Yeah, I think they are on a mission. I think they feel like they let one slip, and you know what? This is the, you know, they kind of got over the hump, mental hump with Penn State going out there blitzing them, and I think they're just, you know, come one, come all, and then they'll, you know, give everybody the business.
Indeed. Speaking of Penn State, their setter that left for mental health reasons will enter the transfer portal when that opens. So Izzy Stark will be on the market for some probable high-level team. That was one of the best setters in the country. Not quite Bergen Riley level good, but plenty good in her own right. Plenty more to come in Hour 2. We'll look at the weekend in college football and a lot to get to in the NFL. Texans take down the Bills. We'll sort the NFL into tiers in the NFC and the AFC. Who do you trust? Who do you not trust as the we come down the stretch. He's Jay Foreman. I'm Austin Norman. This is Old School on the Ticket.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.